Hi Rob, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on to the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, Dan, thank you very much. I was just having a laugh because we were chatting off air, weren't we, and saying I've got a new sort of webcam. So for the benefit of people watching this on YouTube, or sorry, for the benefit of people listening on the podcast, I've just looked down at my computer screen, which means I'm not looking at the right camera. So it's going to be, apologies YouTube, I might cock this one up. But Dan, good to catch up. I'm glad all is going well with you.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. And yeah, like definitely, for example, you know, you've got over 200 episodes to have an experienced podcaster, you know, property investor on here. I'm going to gain a lot from this, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners will as well.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. I suppose let's get the lay of the land here. So joint venture episode, Property Nomads podcast, along with a whole load of property business and mindset podcast. So for Property Nomads podcast listeners, this is out today. Also go and check out Dan Cooper at a whole load of property business and mindset podcast. That's Hull as in H-U-L-L, by the way. So that's for the benefit of our listeners and for the benefit of your podcast, Dan. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for wanting to have a chat. I think it will breeze for a lot of content today that will be incredibly useful for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just for my listeners, like I said, you've been doing podcasts for quite a while now. How long has it been since you've been starting since you started your podcast?
So November 2018 was the first, was it 2018, 2019? I should know that really, shouldn't I? It was a November. I'm going to have to quickly.
We met in 2019, and I remember that is because that's when I first started getting into property, and it was at one of the whole PIN meetings, and you and obviously one of your previous co-hosts had your Property Nomads topped on. So it was definitely in 2019, but I don't know how late it was that I actually went to that meeting.
Yeah, I've just had a check on my spreadsheet. You caught me off guard on the first question. 2018, 5th of November, we released. So yeah, been rolling now for nearly 3 years. It's scary when you think about it, but it's been, you know, this is episode 222, all the twos. You know, it's good fun. That's the key thing. It's good fun, and it's good to be able to have a chat with people and then to be able to provide content to people listening. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah, of course. And like I said, we first met when I first got into property at the Hull PIN. And, you know, I would say your podcast, I learned a lot of value from. I was starting out then, so I jumped on, I listened to a lot of yours because you know, you're prevalent in the buy-to-lets. We can probably touch on that a bit more for the benefit of my listeners. You know, as well as you did a lot of sourcing as well, between you and a few others, you did sourcing as well. So obviously that was my main focus back then. So just the case of I was listening to a lot of your episodes and learning a lot from them. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a privilege to now have you on my podcast and hoping that I can give the same content back to my listeners.
Again, thanks for the invite. It's good to know that, you know, we help with all the content, and, you know, as you'll find out, and you've probably had this from all your customers anyway, through sourcing and, you know, running your property businesses, I'm sure we'll talk about. But the minute someone gives you a bit of feedback and says, you know, thank you, not just a generic thank you, but, you know, you have helped me do X, Y, and Z, for example, all it takes is one of them, and, you know, it makes it worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely rewarding. So, Rob, then, Property Nomads, what is it? Why are the Property Nomads?
Yeah, so in all fairness, hats off to previous business partner. He actually came up with a name. I was deliberating it at the time, and he suggested the Nomads. It might have been Property Wanderers or Property Nomads, I don't know. But he suggested it, so kudos to him. The reason for that is, you know, love property, love traveling around, almost have that nomadic feel to it. So, you know, it fits like a glove, as they say. And, you know, the reason for it was to, you know, help people talk about property. And then over the years, it will come to a case of where we almost turn it into a travel podcast, you know, more travel focused. You know, reason for that is just, you know, lifestyle design. You know, I like being in the UK, but it's that time of year, not to date stamp episodes, but it's a time of year when the weather's a bit shit. I assume I'm allowed to say that on your episodes. It's a bit shit, the weather. And I'm not a big fan of the cold, hence why I've got, again, for the benefit of YouTube, so I've got a coat on in a new office, but the heating's not working. So fun times. And yeah, that's how that came about. And as you've alluded to, that links in with the buy-to-let business that I have with Aaron. We've known each other for a very, very long time. Aaron and I have got the same, you know, traits, same ideals moving forward. So again, to have the Property Nomads, you know, podcast brand there, it, you know, it works well for both of us. So yeah, property business, travel. At the moment, we're retracing our steps from South America and Central America in 2014-2015. So the Thursday episodes are travel episodes, but the Monday episodes, you know, are interviews like this where, you know, we're back and forth with various content, speaking to various, you know, people in power teams, you know, tax accountants, you know, things like that. And yeah, at the end of the day, it's just good fun to do, and adds, you know, I like to think it adds value to people, and happy days.
Yeah, and it's something that you could do everywhere, isn't it? You know, you don't have to be stuck in your office in the cold when you're podcasting, when you're recording, just doing what we're doing over Zoom. You could be anywhere in the world, albeit, you know, as long as I have a Wi-Fi signal, you're okay. But everywhere does nowadays, so.
100%, man. That's the thing. It's good fun to do. It don't take a lot. Again, we're, you know, we're recording this on Zoom, for example. Yeah, as you say, as long as you've got the Wi-Fi, you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, and would you say property then, have you always had a love for property and travel, or has travel been, you know, subsequent to the fact that you're investing in property and it give you that more freedom? Because you do, you know, you do the Property Nomads, you do your property businesses full time, don't you? So has property allowed you to travel more and give you more freedom, or is it something that you've always been passionate about and always done?
Yes and no is the answer to that question. So I would say travel came first. I've always had this thirst for getting out and about, exploring things, going to new places. So that's that. Aaron and I, again, go back to South America. We were a lot of time traveling between various places, you know, like Bolivia, Peru, that sort of stuff. And we both, in a nutshell, we both finished university at Brighton, went traveling to Southeast Asia in 2011, came back from there. Actually, went across the USA as well, but we came back from there, went back to work for a couple of years, didn't know any better, you know, just come out of university, went back to full-time work, but decided we want to go to the World Cup in Brazil in 2014. So we saved up, regular stuff, went traveling. And it was only when we were around and about on the bus journeys, we were saying that, you know, there's got to be a way that we can enjoy the travel, but not keep going back to work for years and years and years. There's got to be a better way. And after, you know, loads of discussions, we said, well, okay, well, let's look at property. That's got, you know, that it's worked well throughout generations, so it's got to work well for us. And that's it from there. Yeah, regular route, I'd say. You know, you pick up a few books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, get your heads around assets and liabilities, attend some training. You know, we went down the full training route first of all, had some spare cash sat in the bank, so we went down there, and, you know, from some training and networking, we got our first deal. Then we took our foot off the gas because of various personal things that are going on. So we had a property, and that's it for 18 months, and then I moved to Hull from Reading, and then from there, you know, the portfolio has gone from strength to strength. And, you know, our philosophy is we just add a few each year. But going back to your question, sorry. Yeah, the last few years have been odd, to say the least, for various reasons. So that's limited travel. For myself, that's limited travel. So it's just been a case of, can we do deals? Let's get some deals done. Let's increase the asset base. Ideally, we want to get out to Qatar 2022. We'll probably be the only two people there watching the World Cup. That's fine by me. We'll get loads of tickets. And that's the idea. So yeah, doing sporting events and, you know, getting around the globe, that's what keeps us going in times like this. And, you know, that's why, you know, travel came first, property came second. And, you know, it's just a case of adding to the asset base, making sure you're positively cash flowing. And then you just keep, you know, as you know, man, you just got to start from base A. You know where you want to go, how you get there. Might be a straight line, it probably won't be. You might add bits and bobs along the way. And as long as you enjoy doing it, you'll keep on doing it. I imagine you found, just to flip the question back to you, I imagine you found that to be the case. You know, a bit nervous starting out, but actually once you're on, I don't want to use the word the journey, but once you've started, different things happen, and you've got multiple businesses as a result, which you may or may not have imagined at the start.
No, definitely not. And the whole reason I got into property was because, I've touched on it on some other podcasts, is I wanted to invest in property. I also wanted to run a business or a few businesses, but I never put the two together. So I never saw property as a business, which, you know, looking back is still investing, cash flow, like you touched on, outgoings, overheads, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it was something that I first started in 2019. The reason being, you know, like yourself, I'm from down south, moved up to Hull. You know, and I just have to say, a lot of people give Hull, you know, a lot of shit. But for someone who's lived here almost 5 years now, I absolutely love the city. I think, one, it's great for investment. Two, people are a lot friendlier up here. You probably know that as well. You know, and I just think it's a lower barrier to entry. So when I actually first moved here, myself and my now wife, we were just looking at places to rent, because obviously, like I said, we moved up here. I just started a new job up here. And I just could not believe the prices of rent. You know, they've actually increased a lot more now, but you can still rent places for sub £400. You know, and I just think you wouldn't even get a room for that down south. So obviously for the rental market, it's quite, you know, affordable for a lot of people to enter. But as well as the house prices, the first house we bought was a brand new build, three bed, semi-detached, three story, like a townhouse, £150K. You know, and you just think, down south, it's just completely, so it just blew my mind. And I was sitting in the pub actually with one of my mates, and he said, you know, he had a couple of buy-to-lets, and he said, why don't you get into property sourcing? Which, you know, I didn't have a clue what it was. Anyway, after a lot of research, you know, I thought, well, I can obviously use the fees to then obviously acquire property. But fortunately, I've met my business partner, where we've actually been able to accelerate the journey a lot quicker. We formed a joint venture partnership. You know, and since last year, you know, in 14 months, I think we're acquiring our seventh property, which is, you know, following the buy, refurbish, refinance model. So for my listeners, that's essentially when you buy a property, spend money refurbishing it, and then getting a mortgage on it at a higher value, purely to, you know, claw back some of your investment to then go again. So we've been fortunate that, you know, I'm out there boots on the ground. But if you said to me, you know, a year and a half ago when I first started, I'd be where I am, you know, I would have probably just laughed and said, no chance. But I've just gone full time as well. So hard work pays off. And like you say, you know, you've just got to be committed to it and keep going and keep going. And it's a passion, isn't it? If you love it, it doesn't feel like a job.
Yeah, it does, man. You know, kudos to everything that you say there. I think that, yeah, no, I read too much psychological stuff. We could have conversations that, you know, last for hours about, you know, differences in areas. But you're absolutely right. Being a southerner, going up there, I found the same. Once we picked Hull as an investment area, it's like, right, go up there, do your homework, do due diligence, have a drive around, you know, that sort of stuff. And you think, yeah, you know, it's all right. Okay, you know, it would be fine. Then you start looking at your generic right move and whatnot. You look at it and go, oh yeah, holy shit, a two-bed apartment. Shit me, it's like £600. Damn. You know, it's like, well, it comes with parking, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, rent-wise, yeah, it's great. And yeah, you know, I always say to people, you know, got loads of like friends and whatnot down in and around the London Southeast area. You know, I understand why people might moan or have a gripe about asset prices. I get that, not a problem at all. But then the same people don't want to move. It's like, we've just got north. Oh yeah, but it's like windy and I'm too far away. Well, you're already making excuses to why you're not going to do something. So you just defeated the object. So you've got to do like what you've done, you know, move from the south. You know what I mean? You don't have to, but it's always better if you do. And you know, you say after 5 years you've enjoyed it. Oh, you had a great 4.5 years up in Hull. You know, it's cracking. There's a few things that I've realised that I've missed since I've been back down in Brighton. But, you know, yeah, it gets a bad rap. But I think, you know, some of it's fair, but most of it's not fair. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So, yeah, kudos to you for making that move. And yeah, as you say, you know, working on your portfolio, every day's a new day, every day's a day to get better. And as long as you know where you want to end up, you know, how you get there, it's not always going to be a straight line. It's all part of the fun.
Yeah, and I can confirm it's definitely not a straight line. And, you know, if everything was a straight line and easy, everyone would be doing it, wouldn't they? So, yeah. And you touched on then, you know, you can talk a lot on about psychological, your theories, but mindset is key. You know, like I said, when you got to believe in yourself, you got to back yourself, really, haven't you? And just go for it and take the leap. You know, moving to Hull probably wasn't as scary as, you know, doing some of the other stuff. You know, I went and traveled the other side of the world on my own. So similar to yourself, you know, going out there, traveling. And I think I learned a lot from that. Just going out there, having to fend for yourself, being on your own, you know, moving to Hull was a breeze, really, in comparison. Yeah. You just have the sort of mundane 9 to 5, you've got to work, as opposed to traveling all the time. But, you know, yes, it's been a fantastic experience. I enjoy it up here, hence why, you know, I've even named the podcast after it. So kudos or credit to Hull.
Yeah, I'm loving the name of the show, man. I must admit, yeah, a whole load of property business mindset. I do like that play on words. It's quite a good play on words. So yeah, kudos to that.
Yeah, and I'm looking to do sort of a series within the podcast as well. So, you know, a whole load of property sourcing, a whole load of buy-to-let. You know, I haven't sort of got them all ironed out yet, but for those listening, there'll be a number of different sort of mini-series, a whole load of ... So, you know, subscribe to the podcast and you'll be able to hear a lot more.
Yeah, no, definitely. I like the way that you can go different things for that as well, even if you know, ever get off the... off the topic of property, you know, a whole load of, you know, your options there are endless. I guess the key thing, as long as you're based in Hull, well, I mean, which you are at the moment, but you know, you might not be in 20 years time, I don't know, you know, you've got endless opportunities with that, man. So yeah, good shout on the name.
Ah, fantastic, brilliant. So you know, I always talk about property. I've obviously have a lot of business owners who aren't in property, but one thing I probably haven't touched on a lot, which I know you're very, you know, keen on or very sort of interesting, is the mindset part. You know, from your experience, you know, how key is mindset? How important is mindset? And, you know, what would you say, and I'm just throwing questions at you now, but one book that sort of changed that for you or some advice you can give?
Yeah, okay, good question. Don't be fearful of the questions, man. I like the fact being on the receiving end of questions is a good fun because it makes you think a little bit more, to be honest. Book mindset. Off the top of my head, I'll be honest, I don't know. I think that you pick up different things from different people. I think you could pick up things from different books. I wouldn't have a seminal book on mindset, to be honest. I think the power that you can have comes from within and by being around the right people. You know, if you are around negative people, let's say, most of the time, that will rub off on you. It, funny enough, in a negative way. If everyone else is negative, you're probably going to end up being negative as well. If you're surrounded by a bunch of entrepreneurs, then you know the mindset then shifts to a more positive mindset naturally, because us entrepreneurs are always trying to think of, you know, you don't have problems. Now, for example, The way you can have with words, for example. Now, this is key. I'm very sort of anal about this. Might not be the best word to use in Brighton, but I'm very anal about this. Is you've got to have the right way with words. So, for example, if something happens, 9 times out of 10, people are going to say, oh, I've got this problem. No, you've got a challenge. If you've got a challenge, your mindset, you're thinking about it differently already. That I've got this obstacle. Okay, I think it's Ryan Halliday or Ryan Holiday, one of the two. The obstacle is the way. If you want me to name a book and put me on the spot, there's a book for you. It's a lot to do with Stoicism. Marcus Aurelius' meditations and things like that as well. That will help to put a lot of things into perspective. But it's a way of words. You know, you don't have problems, you've got challenges. How do you overcome the challenges? I've got this issue in the way, you know, brokers said this about a deal, or this deal is not quite working out, or I've got to figure out a way to do X, Y, and Z. rather than sit down going, oh, you know, woe is me. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. And the whole world's against me, blah, 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 blah. Now, that's easier said than done, as you know. You know, it's easy to be able to read books. It's easy to be able to take the information on and apply it. But as with everyone, you're going to get your dark days. You're going to get your down days. Of course you are. You know, that's life. It's how you then deal with those adverse challenges, should we say. Yeah, mindset's important. That's probably me waffling a little bit there. But yeah, book-wise, look for Ryan. So either Ryan Halliday or Ryan Holiday. Apologies, Ryan, if you're listening. I'm not quite sure what one it is. The obstacle is away. But yeah, you've got classic Stoic stuff. You know, Marcus Aurelius' Meditations is, yeah, it's a short book, but it's a fantastic book. You know, the only philosopher to be a Roman emperor, that's not bad. And he's done all right. And he's quite well revered when you look back at Roman history, which we don't need to go into. But when you look back at it and they go, oh, who are the good guys? You know, Marcus Aurelius is normally high up on that list of good emperors.
Oh, brilliant. And, you know, I've gained a lot from that, and I'll definitely have a look at them as well. Cause I'm always trying to improve my mindset, always trying to get out there and, like I say, learning new things. And what you touched on then about applying what you learn as well, you know, you can learn so much, but unless you're actually applying it, you know, on a daily basis, weekly basis, whenever you sort of feel like it's necessary, that's when you probably see the changes. That's probably when you see things happen. You know, people use the word analysis paralysis, don't they? So you can see, even with studying or analyzing deals or anything, you can do as much theory based stuff as you can or you want, but unless you apply it, then, you know, you're probably not going to see the results you want. Just touching on the point as well, being around entrepreneurial people, fully agree with you there. So, you know, I would say that going back 5 years, even when I first moved to Hull or even just before that, you know, my friendship circles are completely different probably to what they would have been 5 or 10 years ago. You know, it's just about being open. And a lot of the people now who I'm friends with are, you know, they own their own businesses or they're in the property and business sectors. So you do learn a lot from the people you surround yourself with, for sure.
Yeah, you do, and you have to. I remember an old mentor of mine said a little while ago that it's always better to be a, it's always better to play a victor than a victim. So again, it's such a small phrase, but it can have such a profound impact. It's designed at getting the best out of your mentality. So yeah, surround yourself with good people. And, you know, it's not always easy. I say to people recently, you know, I found out in 2020, was it? Yeah, I found out in 2020 I was autistic, which I kind of had an inkling, but yeah, it beats me. And so I've had to deal with that. And what I mean by that is, you know, I've been trying to figure out how or why, you know, I might function differently from people. Now I've got a reason for that. That's quite useful. Now, I'm not saying I sit back and use that as an excuse all the time. Don't get me wrong, it could be quite convenient at some points if you're, you know, faux pasing every now and then. You know, it's like, oh, shit, sorry about that. But in terms of like mental challenges, that's been entertaining to figure out, well, okay, so if my work like this, or well, that explains X, Y, and Z about the last X amount of years, okay, how do we play to the strengths? But you can see there, or if you're listening, you can understand that, again, it's very subtle with the wording. You know, how can I use this to my advantage? Not, oh, fuck's sake, everyone's against me, blah, 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 blah. So, okay, cool. I'm not different. It's just everyone else is a bit different as far as I'm concerned. Whatever. How do we use this to our advantage? You know, does that mean I'm better at doing, you know, deal analysis? You know, I'm not a great people person, to be honest with you. You know, I'm not very empathetic. Probably shouldn't say all my flaws, but, you know, it's true. I'm not going to hide away from it. So therefore, Aaron deals with that side of, you know, business relationship. I'm very straight to the point, which is ironic because I'm waffling. So, yeah, now all of that being said, you know, that's a mental challenge that I'm dealing with. And that's probably going to take a lifetime to figure out. I don't think there's not, you know, a set thing that you need to say or do. But it's how you react to it. You know, adverse situations will come up. When there's a property crash, it will happen. It's going to be probably horrific. Okay, fine. Are you set up in the right way? Have you stress tested your portfolio? Have you got everything you need? Are you on the right mortgages? Have you spoken to your broker? Has the broker given you the best advice possible? What's your strategy? What's going on? Do you have people lined up with cash? Because when it goes tits up, you're going to get a lot of opportunity, because there's always opportunities, you know. Yeah. So it's all these things, you know, planning ahead, thinking outside the box as such. And yeah, if you're doing that all the time, that's useful, very useful. I don't really have anything to add to that, to be honest.
No, yeah. it's a you know, extremely good explanation. And it's very interesting, like you say, you know, you're diagnosed with autism, you potentially had an inkling that you may have been autistic for, you know, well, as long as you've been alive, I guess, haven't you? But and like you said there, so in some instances, some people obviously find things out about themselves, and you know, you flipped it on its head as a positive. You know, it's not to be looked at as a negative either, is it? It's not a negative whatsoever. And you know, you're successful in your own right. You've got a property portfolio, a successful podcast, you know. So hats off to you for doing what you've done and what you've achieved, and using that as a positive, because like you say, and that's probably credit to the fact that you have all this knowledge and understanding of the mind and everything like that. So it's not something that, you know, has affected you. It, well, you know, it may do, but it may have done in such a positive light as well. So fantastic. That's it's very, you know, it's very promising, you know, the fact that this is something that can be a challenge in a lot of people's lives, but you're not using it to the detriment, you're using it as a positive going forward.
Oh, and it's important that you have to, at the end of the day. You know, the only challenge I say that I have is switching off. You know, I haven't found a sensible or suitable way to switch off. My brain's always thinking about something. You know that's probably the disadvantage, if there is one, that I can think of, is that I'm always, you know, not worrying as such, but you know, always thinking about different bits and bobs that are going on. But you know, as you quite rightly said, it's a mindset. You've got to wire yourself in the right way. And you know, I think what's important to point out is it's not a case of, you know, oh, everything's gold, leprechaun, roses, blah blah, happy face. You are going to get your shit days. You're going to get your crap moments, but it's about how you react in the face of adversity that, you know, will set you up for success, basically.
Yeah. No, brilliant. And so, you know, we've touched on quite a lot of things already. So, you know, we've touched about, let's say, the past, what we've been doing, you know, what we've been up to since we met each other. So what's your focus going forward? You said that your podcast, you're looking to turn into more of a travel podcast, you know, and I love traveling as well. I love travel. So I'll continue to listen to your podcast. I'm sure it'll be extremely interesting talking about some of your previous journeys and some of your future ones as well. But what else have you got in the pipeline? What else are you sort of working on, or what do you want to achieve going forward?
So in terms of achievements going forward, between Aaron and myself, we always say that we want to add 4 or 5 deals, you know, a year. Now, whether that's buy-to-lets or potentially blocks of flats, that's what we want to do. Our reasoning for that is it's slow and steady. Our exit strategy is death. You know, it sounds morbid, but, we've planned that far ahead. You know, the portfolio is not going to go anywhere, basically. So it's how much passive income or relatively passive income can we accrue? You know, are we in the right business format to do that? Yes, we are. Had all the necessary advice, as any good investor would do. So in terms of the investment side, that's it. It's working with people like yourself, you know, on the sourcing side. You know, you're based up in Hull. You know, we know Hull quite well. Having the knowledge of the area is key. You've got a good reputation, so it's easy to have a chat and say, Dan, you know, let's go through the NDA process. Let's sign up, send some stuff our way. Here's what we're looking for. If we could do business, we do business. You know, happy days. So building that network. In terms of travel, yeah. Again, tough times at the moment. Travel, you could arguably say, is more hassle than it's worth with everything that's going on. So, you know, if we've got a sort of sit on our hands for a little bit, that's what we do. We want to go to the World Cup in Qatar in 2022. And then after that is, you know, different experiences. You know, I don't know, Rugby World Cup in France 2023, Football World Cup in 2026, which is like USA, Canada, Mexico. My partner's Mexican, So I'll probably end up living in Mexico 6 months a year. That's fine by me. There's a lot to see and do over there. And that's, if I had to have a lifestyle design, that would be it. 6 months in the summer, or when we've actually got daylight in this country, between March and October, 6 months here. Is that 6 months or 7 months? March, April, May, June, July, August.
Seven.
I'll take that back. 7 months then. 7 months over here. And then the minute those clocks go backwards, forwards, whatever it is, boom, off to Mexico, it's air dry season in Yucatan, 30 degrees. Thank you very much.
You're living the dream.
No, exactly. But that for me is what's in my head at the moment. You know, when I go back to about overthinking, you know, I'm looking at stuff like residency, citizenships. I want a second citizenship. It's not the easiest thing to say over list, but I want a second one of them to, because what you don't want, and this is what I found, and you find this as well, and you know, most business owners have, you don't want a single point of failure. So, you know, if our government, for example, turns tyrannical, as most governments look like they're doing anyway, if it turns tyrannical and you've not got a get out of jail free card, or you haven't got a second citizenship, you're up the swanning. Not good. So, but that's how I'm thinking. So I'll go back to that autism stuff. You know, that's the sort of shit I'm thinking about. It's not all necessarily property stuff, but it's how can I start protecting X, Y, and Z suitably, including protecting myself. So yeah, second citizenship, you know, probably somewhere at some point to add to it. But at the end of the day, property is, it provides a very suitable base for what we want to do. You know, Aaron and I have got different things that we do in our spare time. You know, I've got, you know, other investment mechanisms on the side as well. Because, you know, don't get me wrong, I love property. But from everyone I speak to, it's not always about having your eggs in the same basket. Even with different property strategies and whatnot, you know, it's important, I think, to have some stuff outside of property as well. That might be cryptos, that might be bullion, that might be, although I wouldn't advise putting anything into the stock market, you know, a lot of commodity stocks at the moment, just because that's a cycle. You know, chances are they're going to do well. Please don't take that as financial advice. I'm not an IFA. So all of that. But in terms of getting to a number of properties, we've never really worked on having a number, but we have said, really, when we get to 50 units, that's when we reassess everything. Now, that could take a couple of years. You know, if you do it 5 a year, that could take 10 years. Of course, you buy a block of 10 flats a year, that takes 5 years, or in fact, even less than that, because of whatever. So that's when we'll assess, because, you know, if you're sat there with, I don't know, a rent roll of, I don't know, 25-30k a month. Now, of course, if you're tax efficient and you're clever with that, happy days, then actually, then it becomes a question of, well, do you need more? Not do you want more, do you need more? We're not, and you might know this as well, traveling, I have found, doesn't make you ridiculously materialistic. In fact, it takes it away from you to an extent, because you see different people in different circumstances around the world. Now, I'm not the most materialistic of people in the world. So hypothetically, let's just say the business is making £30,000 a month net, hypothetically. Well, if you split that between two people, 15 grand a month, of course, you know, tax-wise, you're not going to probably be taking it all per month anyway. But then I would ask the question, well, do I need any more? Probably not. Go from there. Doesn't mean you're not ever going to stop working on property, because, you know, if you're earning X amount of pounds a month or a year, your tax is going to sort of go up quite quickly. That's where tax efficiency comes in. And that's where you put the time into your, or in your business, or sorry, working on your business, becoming as tax efficient as possible. So there's always going to be elements, no pun intended, because of element property. And there's always going to be elements that you need to take into account as well. So yeah, you know, we're always going to be working on the business. And I think every investor is always going to be working on their business somehow, but it doesn't necessarily have to be about accruing as much as physically possible. For some people, it is. It's life or death. I've got to have X amount of property. Fine. For us, we've said, once we get to 50 units, nice, slow and steady pace, that's what we'll do. But in the meantime, you can probably see, if you're videoing this, you know, we've got a big property logo signed there. Book Buy to Let, How to Get Started. Recommend you check that out on Amazon. We've got 101 top property tips as well. Got a new book coming out at the start of next year. So watch this space. These are all assets. Now, you know, we're not like international bestsellers and whatnot, but it does produce, you know, a nice income per month. And I'm looking at it on camera again. It does produce a nice income per month. But also along with the podcast, you know, we're sponsored as well. Was never the intention when we started the podcast. But, you know, so there are multiple streams of income coming in. It's just about managing it. But Aaron also does some fund matching as well at the moment. And we want to start getting into commercial developments as well. You know, it's good to have the portfolio ticking along up north. But as you know, I'm sure your clients know, that capital growth up north is not going to be the same as it is down south. So if we can jump on board and start getting into the commercial world down here, again, we'll go back to basics. Let's team up with someone first. You know, let's get the training wheels going. Let's learn about it, what's going on. So you take the hit financially to an extent first, i.e. you might not take as much profit, but that might go more to your JV partner or whatever it is. But once we've done that, then you start building and start building and start building. Now, our idea there is, like it probably is for most people, go in, develop, sell, profit, happy days, redeploy that into, you know, maybe like using your services, for example, accruing more properties up in Hull. You might do a couple of deals and realize the numbers are that good, you might just keep it. Don't know, but you've got your two strategies there, which are important. So yeah, that again, I'm waffling because I like doing it, but if I go back to your question, what's going on? Ideally, it's, you know, five buy-to-lets a year or a block of flats a year, nice and steady. Get the commercial development started down here, teaming up with various people. So almost creating a new power team as such, getting that going. And then it'll just be a case of redeploying that capital into buy-to-lets, or, you know, we might end up keeping those developments depending on the numbers. And of course, that enhances cash flow. But we'll look at everything, you know, when we get to about 50 units, and we'll assess where we are from there. And, you know, if that then enables us to do a lot more traveling and all these restrictions are lifted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's loads of things you want to do. You know, I don't know. One thing we've discussed is buying a Lada in like Kazakhstan, just driving around the stands. Apparently Turkmenistan's quite nice. Who would have known? But, you know, something completely different, things like that. So yeah, all this crazy shit we want to do. And the property keeps us going. Hopefully that answers that question. Apologies to your listeners. I'm now waffling on uncontrollably. Hopefully that helps.
No, definitely it does. And it's exciting because, you know, you've touched on various different things and probably some things that are quite off the beaten track that not many people will probably focus on. Like you say, going out buying a Lada, that's new. So very, very, very interesting there. I was actually going to touch on your books as well, but you've answered a few of my other questions, really. Like, have you got any more books in the pipeline? What I'll do as well, for the benefit of my listeners, I'll share the Amazon links into the show notes if anyone does want to get out there. Because the 101 property tips, that's from several investors, right? That's from loads of different investors giving their sort of best bit of advice.
Yeah, absolutely. No, cheers that, Dan. I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. So the 101 top property tips was, Aaron wrote a few, I wrote a few, but really I was going to say the meat and gravy bit, but that might offend vegans.
The nooks, not and northerners crannies, though, they love, yeah.
Nooks and crannies, shall we say. Let's be as PC as we can. A lot of investors that we know and spoke to, they contributed to that book. So they really made that book what it is. Buy to Let, How to Get Started. It was a number one bestseller on that. That's literally, if you're thinking about buy to let, but you're not quite sure, get that book and that will go through step by step what you should do, how to do it, what to look for, all that sort of stuff. So that's probably the thing I'm most proud of book wise. And then, yeah, top property. I might do another top property tips at some point, but the newest book, Property FAQs. So we've got some great stuff by one of our mortgage brokers. He's plowed through a series of questions that you want to be checking out. And it's just a compilation of questions that we've been asked over the years and just felt like writing it. So that'll come out in due course. And yeah, again, it's just another way of trying to add value, to be fair. Same with the newsletter on Mondays that we send out as well. It's very short, straight to the point. It's, you know, it's a bit of a laugh. So, but yeah, book wise, yeah, it's tough to do. Writing a book's not easy, but yeah, very proud to have those behind. And again, appreciate you putting the links for your listeners as well, so you can go and find them on Amazon and you know, enjoy reading them. There's a lot there to get. Yes, a good investment, should we say?
Yeah, fantastic. And buy-to-lets, you know, I love the buy-to-lets. And just touching on what you said, you know, up north, yeah, you're not going to benefit from this huge capital appreciation, but it depends on what your strategy is, isn't it? You know, you could be looking elsewhere, doing some flips to then fund your other buy-to-lets. You know, I like buy-to-lets. I think they're, you know, it's a long-term strategy. You're not going to make your money overnight. You're not going to, you know, become a multimillionaire or if that's your intention. You know, some people just like doing it to have that sort of financial security. Some people obviously want to do it to own half a city and just be this extreme millionaire. But, you know, how would you say that you found buy-to-let over the last couple of years? Because obviously, you know, it's been quite a turbulent 18 months, 2 years. How have you found the buy-to-let market in terms of, you know, your existing properties? Because, you know, it's difficult out there trying to buy them for a good price. The market's gone absolutely crazy. You know, it's one of them that's a cash flowing asset that just ticks on.
Yeah, in answer to your question, tough. I won't lie. And the minute the government, in their infinite wisdom, decided to play around with stamp duty, that unleashed a lot of supposedly pent up demand. You know, people going out and, you know, bidding war. And the minute you start seeing in the news, you know, bidding wars on houses, just like, oh, fuck's sake, here we go. So it's not great from an investment point of view. Not to say that there aren't deals out there. Of course there are, but you're dealing with a lot more people chasing the same damn thing. So that's going to increase the price anyway. So that's been difficult. But, you know, we've added 11 this year, a block of flats and then a single buy to let. So that's been all right, to be fair, getting them over the line, because as you've just said, and same point of view, it's all about the cash flow. You know, for us, it's the net return on investment. So what's it going to look like after refinance? Now, I know that's a bit hypothetical because you don't know what the end value is, but if you do your research, you're going to have a good idea. So we look at that and go, well, if the net ROI is 20%, we'll do it. Not an issue with that. Ignore gross yield. That's just crap. Not a big fan of gross yield. It's not a fair reflection of it because it doesn't take into account things. But yeah, we found it tough. You know, we've not been actively looking. The flats came to us at the start of the year. You know, they took a fair few months to get over the line. This little, you sort of buy to let in East Hull, that's been there again for a little while. That kept us off market. So, you know, there are things out there, but as you've alluded to, and we alluded to off chat, yeah, it's been tough, and it will continue to be tough. But again, macroeconomics. You know, look at what's going on. A lot of QE going on, very dangerous. You know, inflation. No, I'm not surprised. You know, inflation is great from a property asset point of view because it's just going to go up. Not all the time. It's got to come back down. But from an asset point of view, it's great. You know, I always say the same thing. If you're owning property at this time, you know, and you're relying a little bit on capital growth, you're having the right old laugh with inflation. Now, economically speaking, it sucks for everyone else. But, you know, inflation is the worst form of tax you can get. If you don't know about it, Google it, read it, find some books. It's the worst tax possible, but because it's so stealthy, people don't realise it's happened. So that's why, you know, as you've done, Dan, you've got to go out, get your assets, have your multiple streams of income as well, and, you know, surround yourself. Don't trust the government at the end of the day. You've got to look after yourself. And that's why entrepreneurs will have their assets, have their cash flow, have their businesses. You've got to look after yourself. Don't rely on other people to look after you for you. But again, in summary, for your question, tough. It's tough out there. That's why we always say, you know, if we could do 5 a year, great. If we do more than that, wonderful. If we do less than that, then we've got to ask ourselves why. And, you know, if it is because no good deals have come across on our table or they don't meet our criteria, you know, that is what it is. But as you said, it's about your strategies. What's your exit? If you're just going in for cash flow and a deal comes up and it meets your criteria, great. You know, it's not always about getting all your money out. You might leave quite a bit of cash in. Fine. If it cash flows well and it works for you, not an issue. The important thing is getting the assets in the first place and then managing them properly.
Yeah, fully agree on that. And, you know, a lot of people have different criteria, like 20%. You know, that's obviously net management and et cetera, net cost, but you know, that's a good ROI. But then you have a lot of people out there who, you know, they want all their money out, they want to get everything back, but it might take them 18 months to find that deal, you know, but you know, let's say they go for 20% and they can achieve the five per year, then obviously they're going to make a lot more money a lot faster, you know? And I think that property training, I've undergone property training, you know, at first I was trying to find the unicorn deal, but taking a step back, yeah, we leave money in, you know, some we've actually done some really good BRRs, you know, all your money out, but some we've left money in as well. And the reason being is because we understand our criteria and we want to grow aggressively. So we have to leave money in, otherwise we will never grow. And it's just sort of taking that step back and, like you say, looking at your sort of net ROI, and if it meets your criteria and you're happy, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. It's what you feel comfortable with and doing what you want to do to be able to grow.
Yeah. At the end of the day, as long as your rental income covers your expenses and whatnot, and you've got a positive cash flow and asset, the ROI is decent, you know, happy days. At the end of the day, you know, the economy will take care of the rest for you. Because again, as asset prices go up, rental prices will more than likely go up. It won't happen all the time. You know, let's not sort of, whatever the phrase is, you know, let's not get too over the top with this. What goes up must come down, apart from your age, that always goes up. But it's going to happen. And, you know, there will be crashes. There will be a crash. It's going to be gnarly. It's going to be horrible. But that's why you've got to buy your assets. That's why you've got to make sure you've got the right power team in place. Speak to your right mortgage broker. Get everything lined up. Now, at the end of the day, if you've got a portfolio that generates you £10,000 a month, for example, I couldn't care less if that portfolio is worth 10 million quid or worth £1.50. If it's still generating £10,000 a month, you're having a right old chuckle, aren't you? So, you know, when you're in the game of cash flow is king.
Exactly. Brilliant. So I'm just getting to the sort of the end is in sight. What, where can people find you, Rob? Just for the benefit of my listeners. So, for example, we've touched on your books. I'll share the notes there and I'll share the information. But for the benefit, where can they come online and find you?
Yeah, so the best place to find me, the Property Nomads podcast. We're on like Facebook, Instagram, predominantly Instagram. Aaron does a lot of the work there, and Simon. So hats off to them. So you can find us there. For myself, any questions, queries, I always say email is actually the best way to get hold of me personally. That's rob@tpmpodcast.com. And as you've alluded to, Dan, as well, obviously the Property Nomads podcast, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, the usual channels. You know, hunt us down, subscribe, leave us a nice review. Find the books on Amazon as well, Buy to Let, How to Get Started, and 101 Top Property Tips and others. You know, they're the best ways to get in touch. And for the benefit of people listening to this on Property Nomads podcast, Dan, with your new podcast and everything that's going on, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we've touched on it, a whole load of property, business and mindset for the podcast, and predominantly on Instagram. So there, you know, is you'll see a lot of my private life stuff, if you were, but as well as my property journey. So I hate using that word journey. I don't know why I use it, you know, my property, my experiences, let's say. And I always try to give an honest account on what I'm doing as well, because, you know, shit does hit the fan sometimes and not everything is smooth as everyone makes out. So that's Dan Cooper 1992. And on Facebook as well, feel free to connect. You know, if anyone wants to give me a message about, you know, understanding what Hull's like, you know, Rob and I are advocates, then happy to have a conversation with anyone over socials.
Yeah, and I would say, as I always say, we will leave the things like that, contact details, what in our show notes. But I would recommend people go and check out Dan's podcast. Go and check out Dan as well. We've known each other for a few years. Sound guy, can definitely vouch for what he's doing in Element as well. So yeah, you know, do make contact. Dan, all I can say is, you know, like, hey, if this is well received on both channels, you know, we could probably take the conversation a whole different way if there is a need for part two.
Nah, definitely agree with that. I think there's probably a lot more sort of content we can discuss going forward, you know, and I'm sure we'll be in a lot, you know, completely different places next year as well, this time next year. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, on that note, no, great stuff, Dan. Appreciate that. Yeah, go check out all the podcasts that we mentioned. Links are in the show notes and so forth. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate that. And, you know, thanks for coming on the Property Nomads podcast as well. Until next time, have a good one.
and you, Rob. See you later.